Sherry and Jeff.
Okay, great. All right, so this is, Tim, can, do you have the recorder going?
Yes.
Okay, so this is September 18th, 2020, and I'm calling to order the public session of the Oregon Board of Accountancy's board meeting. And we'll start with roll call, so everybody knows who's online. Nancy M. Oliver, board chair.
Scott Wright, board treasurer in the office.
Kimberly.
Jim Sullivan, board vice chair.
Kimberly Fest, executive director in the office.
Joel Parks, board staff in the office.
Julie Nadeau, board staff in the office.
The Brago public member online.
Jacob Robinson, board member online. Bill Moore, board member online.
Anthony Trump, board staff by Zoom.
Jeremiah Leffert, board staff by Zoom.
And now we have four guys.
So we have the members who have joined us for public discussion. Do you want to introduce themselves? Sherry, you want to go?
Yes, thank you, Sherry. Bertrand, RCC. Samantha Fell, TOAIA, UZoom.
Jeff Tuval, board member of OSCPA.
Amanda, do you want to introduce yourself, please?
Sure. My name is Amanda Green. Y'all are considering a request for me today, so I'm here to represent myself. Thank you.
Welcome. Okay. Julie, did we acknowledge everybody?
I believe we did.
Okay. All right. So I'm now referring to the public board meeting agenda. We've done a call to order. We need an agenda review and approval. So with that, with the board members, is there any modification to our public session agenda? Okay, I'm hearing none. Kimberly, is this actually a vote or just acknowledgement that we're good?
Yes, no vote needed.
Great, thank you. Okay, moving on to new business. Item 3A, accounts receivable for 2020.
Anthony, will you go ahead and address those, please?
Sure. So, in materials of the accounts receivable report for 6/30/2020. As of that date, we have $937,000 in outstanding accounts receivable. And the following pages have detail on the activity that we had during the year. There's a little bit less activity compared to prior year. But I'm happy to answer any questions anyone may have.
And this is Scott. Anthony, not so much a question for you, but I guess for in general, we have these uncollectible accounts. I mean, some of them go back way far. I mean, how and when do they just go away that we don't even have to try to track them anymore? If they really are uncollectible, clear the books. How does that happen under state rules?
So we have to assign a POR who then assigns it to a private collection firm. And if they think that they can't collect, they'll send it back to us.
And then we do the write-off.
So the process that we'll send it back to the ER one more time, and then if we receive it back the second time, then we go through the write-off process.
So those that are in the uncollectible, which appear to be perhaps three dozen, are they at DOR at this point?
Yes, most of them are at DOR, and we haven't received them back just yet.
Okay. So it is possible in a near-term future we'll see that list shrink as all the criteria are meant for just making them go away. Okay,
any other questions? Okay. Our next item, Amanda, I know that you joined us here for that, but we need to have our legal counsel in the meeting as well. She's had to drop off, so I'm gonna return to this. As soon as she's back, we'll go back and interrupt this. Let's go down to item 3D, the UAA comment letter to NASBA.
So we were required to respond to the exposure draft from NASBA by August 31st. And unfortunately, I had to send it before we were all able to meet. So hopefully what was sent you approve of. But we just addressed a couple of items that that we had some input on. But more or less, it's they're really honing in on a solution that I think our exam candidates and our board will be happy with.
Okay, any questions for Kim on that? Okay, item E is the 2020 top scoring candidates. It's informational only, but it's just confirmation that there's a lot of people out there who are a lot smarter than me. So any comment or need on that one? So congratulations to them. That's pretty impressive scores. Okay, item F, Board of Accountancy, 2021-23 binder.
So that is the agency request budget that I prepared and provided to DAS on July 31st. We were an early submitter this year. So that's just for your information. There'll be, you know, tweaks as we go along, but this is what was submitted so far.
Okay. Thank you. Any comments for Kim on that one? Okay. I'm going to skip items G and H at this time. Welcome back to them once Angie has joined us. Let's go to item number 4, public comment regarding any matter. So looking for our public matter or public attendees. Jeff, what do you want to share now? Jeff will be retiring. Forgive me, am I on item number 9? You're on item number 4. Oh, I'm sorry. I apologize. No, we'll wait until number 9 before the RTPA. My apologies. Thank you. No worries on that. I just want to make sure that we have the opportunity to acknowledge everyone.
Yes, thank you.
Okay. I don't see anybody else in a sense raising their hand or taking themselves off mute to be heard for just general public comment. So I'm going to go ahead and continue to move on. From the Complaints Committee on the BOAC, we have the meeting summaries from August 6th and 7th and June 23rd, informational only. Scott, is there anything that you want to comment on there?
No, I, other than that the BOAC continues to do a great job. I mean, they handle a ton of cases. The process is being streamlined, and I'm amazed at the amount of material that they go through in order to come up with their recommendations for us. We may think we had a large agenda to deal with in our meeting, but when you consider there are a lot of things that are still in play based on what the BOAC's analysis of them on requests for directions are, they're dealing with a ton of information far above what we have yet at this point. It will eventually come to us, but they are the tip of the spear of dealing with these issues, and kudos to them.
I second that.
Yeah, agreed. We really appreciate the BOAC. And all of our committees, you know, they all work very, very diligently. I would like to go ahead and skip to item 8 on our public agenda. That's review of the public board summary from June 11th, 2020. Is there any comments? Okay, hearing none. I'm going to move to item number 9, the report from the OSCPA. So I think you're on now.
Okay. Good morning, everyone. Glad we could connect. I will run through a handful of things here. I guess first thing is as all of you, as most of us are on the call, virtually everything the OSCPA is doing has turned virtual, including, you know, the fall and winter activities that we have, as well as all the continuing ed programming that we've had going on since April. It's all been reformatted to online, and at this point we anticipate at least through the end of the year that all of our activities and continuing ed are going to continue to be online. And I said through the end of the year, actually through the end of February at this point, we're going to keep everything online, and, you know, largely for safety of not only OSCPA members, but also for our members at large. I'm really working on getting some of that feedback. So if I start to talk super slow, it's because I'm getting that echo in my ear. And currently OSCPA is working on curriculum for the 2021-2022 fiscal year. In terms of peer review, probably the most important thing is, for those of you that don't know, Phyllis Barker has retired effective August 7th, and she was a pretty key component with peer review and helping to administer peer review. Her replacement, Darlene Bowles, has been hired and will now be the board's primary contact for peer review on a go-forward basis. Trying to see my other notes here. Phyllis is a part-time employee, sort of helping out with sort of an advisory role, especially on this peer review cycle. And then effective January 1st of 2021, you know, the AICPA requires a CPA in the role of administrator. And so Darlene is a CPA, and so we feel like that we've got that requirement met here in the state of Oregon. Those are sort of my notes that I have to go through. Sherry, I don't know if you have anything else you want to add, or if there's any comments.
I think that covers it very well, and just really want to commit to the board that we're very in tune with trying to meet the needs of the members and board council licensee with CPAB. I am a little bit anxious about some of the news I've been hearing, and just even yesterday, since Jeff and I were working on his report, in that folks are having some difficulty with cell connections because the loss of cell tower, you know, and internet too, because the loss of towers. So we'll just help us through that process as best as we can. We'll make sure everybody reaches success. Thank you.
Great, thank you, Sherry. Any questions of the OSCPA members from any board members? I'm not seeing any hands raised. Report from the OAIA.
Hi, so the OAIA thing, we also have made the transition to online for all of our meetings and all of our CPEs. All in all, it's going fairly smoothly. You know, a couple of hiccups, as I'm sure we all experienced, but all in all, it's been very well received. And so that's moving forward for us. We have a couple of few seminars upcoming. We have Operation Compton Review in October 22nd. We have a Trust and Estate seminar coming up here on October 23rd. And then we have our 1040 in-depth
in December 10th and 11th coming up. We just had our business tax online, which is our first kind of large-scale web-based CPE seminar, and that worked out very well. So far, so good. And things seem to be moving on as close to normal as we can.
Close to normal. Ma'am,
yes.
Define normal, right?
Right.
any questions for Amanda? Okay. All right. Item 11 is the report of the chair. I guess that's me. So I just want to let everyone know that I did participate in on a regional NASA conference on Wednesday. A couple of the items to note is that on November 2nd through 4th will be the annual meeting, and that will be held remotely. So we need to know who would like to participate in that. Normally we like to send folks to the annual meeting. We just send a couple folks due to cost. But this year, with everything being remote, if everyone wanted, we could all participate. So you'll need to let Kimberly know if you have time. It might also be an option, I know that to take out 3 days to attend a meeting is a lot of time commitment on the part of the board. So what I'd like to throw out as an idea as well is that maybe we might share attending the meeting, split it up between the board members to participate for portions of a day or just a single day. So let me know your thoughts on that. Also around October 15th, there'll be a questionnaire coming out that we'll need to respond to, so just give me a heads up on that. One of the items being looked at specifically is the CPE standards and whether or not there needs to be changes there. And then the final item I had is that, and I think I mentioned this to you yesterday, Kimberly, but would you please send Raul's contact information to between us so they have that of record?
Yes, I've already done that. Thank you.
Okay. So that is everything that I have to share, unless there's any questions of me.
Nancy, this is Scott. So, for example, the regional meetings, which normally are a day and a half or 2 days, was less than a day. So I would anticipate that the annual meeting, which is 2 to 3 days, may only be a day to start with itself. I don't know that I've seen anything saying for sure what it's going to be, but just to your point of it, taking 3 days out, it may be simply a less than a day process compared to what it historically has been.
I'm kind of hoping that's what it is. It's just that in the meeting they did stress or emphasize that it is 3 days, November 2nd, 3rd, and 4th.
Okay.
As we get more information from Katrina and from me, we'll send that out to the board members, but being that we're going to do a remote session this year, consider participating for some of that annual meeting. I think it's good exposure to the other NASA members and other folks in our the boards of accountancy. So, although we don't get the door prizes when we participate online, I'm a little disappointed in that. Not that I got any last time, but it's part of the fun, right? Okay, report of the vice chair.
Thanks, Nancy. No report from the vice chair.
Okay, thank you. Item 13, report of the treasurer.
Okay, in your packet you have materials that are our projections for the rest of the year and where we stand to date. Just, I guess, highlights of the whole thing is based on some comments that have come back from our accountant. We are projected to be above the budget by a little bit on revenue, projected to be below budget on expenditures. So at least based on budget, we're in good shape. Things are in a state of flux, as we all know, with the state's budget, but right now, based on what we have here, we're good.
Any questions with Scott? Okay, item 14. Kimberly, report of the executive director.
Thank you. I apologize for not having something in writing for you. It's been a, kind of a crazy time here. We did just finalize the renewal process for the 2020 renewals. It was probably one of the best renewal cycles we'd have in terms of we sent them out earlier and we finished earlier. Our team really worked hard together to make sure that we met the goals that we were trying to achieve, and I feel like we did that. At this point, it looks like we have 264 licensees that lapsed, whether voluntarily or by accident, so we might be seeing some reinstatements coming in soon. Let's see what else has been going on. Our staff is all...
We moved into the building.
Yes, and most of you got to see that yesterday, which I was thrilled for. That everything's going good there, and that's all I have right now.
Okay, great. Let's see. I'm going to jump down to item 16, the Qualifications Committee. Kimberly, who's on point for the Qualifications Committee?
Who's the liaison?
Well, normally, Jason. Jason, you weren't at that meeting, though. You're on mute, Jason. I'm sorry.
So, yeah, I was not. I was actually traveling from Virginia back to Oregon.
Okay. Okay. So we don't have any reports for this meeting on the qualification committee. How about the peer review committee? Peer review committee.
The peer review committee did not meet this quarter. They've experienced extensions across the board. Due to the RAB not meeting. I think there's a RAB meeting scheduled soon. We're hopeful that it will happen and that we'll have some progress there. But
okay. All right, I'd like to go ahead and move to item 17 on the ratification request.
I make a motion to ratify the tentative licenses issued to the individuals presented us on the materials presented to us, the individual licensees.
I'll second.
Okay. Any further discussion on that from the board members? Okay, all in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Aye.
Those opposed? Okay.
I make a motion to ratify the tentative firm registrations issued by the staff to the firms on the materials provided to us.
I'll second.
Any further discussion? Those in favor say aye.
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 Those opposed? Okay.
I make a motion to ratify the tentative licenses issued to the individuals presented to us as coming through the Qualifications Committee.
I'll second.
Okay. Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Aye.
Those opposed? All right. Pat?
I make a motion to admit to the municipal roster the individuals listed on the materials provided to us.
I'll second.
Okay, further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
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 Those opposed? Motion has passed. Okay, looking at our agenda, let's move on to item 15, old business. The first one has to do with Darren Hall's inspection agreement that's listed as conditional only. Kim, are you taking anything from us on that?
No, it's just kind of an update. So he finally did an agreement with, I can't remember his name right now. William? Yeah, I don't have it in front of me. Eric Newman of So as far as I know, they're going to be sending us reports throughout, and we'll see. We'll just keep you posted on any other things that happen with that piece. But it's nice that we have an agreement on file with them.
Yeah, it is. Great. Okay. Any questions on the Darren Hall inspection agreement update? Okay, seeing none, the next item is the Ben Runaway request letter. So the letter addresses a number of items. One is the opportunity to regain the CPA license. The license was revoked in May of 2014. That's one matter, and then the second item, which I believe that we dealt with in our last meeting, was a dismissal of the amount owed. And I believe that we previously, Kimberly, I believe that our direction was to reach out to them and let him know that no, we would not waive those, but we would entertain something, and I'm not sure that we really got something back. Can you?
Yes.
Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yes. So after the last board meeting, that was your direction that you would entertain, you know, some modifications to that. However, we needed something more reasonable than he was requesting. He was requesting that all of the costs, all of the fees, all of the penalties, you know, everything just be wiped and refunded to him. That wasn't very reasonable in our opinion, and so I sent him a letter and asked him to respond with something reasonable, and he came back with the exact same request of no fees, no costs, no penalties, wipe the slate clean, and so.
Okay. So I'd like to open up for discussion from the board to see if they would be willing to entertain the idea of, and this is just an idea, but for us to waive the interest if Mr. Runaway makes his payment timely, then we could waive the interest and have no further accrual of interest. However, if he fails to make his payments, then the interest would be, we would rescind that and then apply the interest back. Thoughts and comments?
I have one comment really quick. Mr. Runaway is currently going through the DOR process, so he's getting garnished, or however he's making payments. Do you know how he's making payments?
Yeah, being garnished. Yeah.
Okay, so he's getting garnishment checks, and he's giving us an average of about $800 a month, or $1,600 a month.
24. Yeah.
So he's, you know, he must have a nice job somewhere because he's getting, you know, he's making regular payments. So I don't know. I would have to find out if we just code it differently with DOR so that the interest is not being accrued. But that's something we would have to look into. I don't know how that works with them.
When we definitely have to know more information, because one of the things we need to know is that when a payment is made, is it first applied to interest, or is it applied to the penalty, or would it be applied to the collection fee, right? So we would have to find out more information on that if we need to do that. I guess right now what I'm wondering is, would any of the board members be willing to consider the waiver of the interest? The interest today per the letter is a little over $48,000. The amount owed on the account is $184,000 plus. That is made up of $100,700 in debt, $36,543 in collection fees, and then $48,175 in interest.
Thank you, Nancy. To talk about the way DOR works with the collections process and the way we can handle the debt, in lieu of the information that Kimberly just had, but we're garnishing his current wages and he's making payments that way. I would suggest that we continue with the garnishment until we've reached the point where we've paid off the debt that he owes, and then look at it again for being nice about the collection fees of interest at that time.
Okay. I think that sounds reasonable. What are other thoughts?
So,
Joe? Or Scott?
Joe, do you have comment? Okay. I guess, and I can't remember if we had this question when it came up at our last board meeting, but what ability do we have, once it's in DOR's hands, what ability do we have to modify, change, or any of the things that we're talking about, or do we have to wait for DOR, do we have to go through a DOR process to modify?
It depends on what you said in the ORS about how you allow this. So at DCBS, every single division has different requirements on their penalties and fees. So we would have to look at our ORS to see if there's any stipulations on our, how we're allowed to waive any of our either debt or penalty or collection fee amount. Interest is usually a one that we can easily waive away.
Thank you.
And Jason, I guess, you know, with respect to your comment on continuing the garnishment, I think with the amount owed, I mean, I know he's making significant payments, but that would, without duping the math, that sounds like that's quite a ways out, correct? Yeah.
Yeah, it looks that way.
I remember the case, you know, being, you know, there's a lot going on there, so I don't want to discount that any, but I'd certainly be open to, given our actual ability to do that, waiving something, whether that's the interest, as Nancy pointed out, or staying something once garnishment payments have gotten to a certain point. I don't know what's simpler, and that might be saying, hey, we'll stay the remaining penalties once you make payments to this dollar amount, and if you don't or you miss them, they all come back. But I would be open to that conversation to the extent as possible.
I guess. Let's go back to where we were. Last meeting we said, okay, we're open to listening to something, but you need to come back with a reasonable figure. He didn't. He didn't come back with a reasonable figure. He said just, all he gave up was refund that which I've already paid. So I'm a little hesitant to say, well, let's continue to work on something where he has not been willing to work with us, in my opinion.
I agree.
Yeah, it looks like he did respond back, but his response was simply not refund this time. It just reduced my account balance to zero.
Right.
So he's not asking for anything back, just make it zero.
Yeah. I think we were pretty confident that we couldn't refund it to him anyways, so that was never one of our options. So to have him drop that as one of the requests is moot. And he just basically said, okay, well, just don't charge me anymore. That was not responsive to our outreach.
I did reach out to the Department of Revenue after our last meeting just to see how and if we can negotiate that debt should we come to a place where that's going to be appropriate. And they said they do have a process to accommodate any reductions that we approve of. We just need to let them know and what the reduction would be. So it's if we do get to a point where we all agree, that's possible for through DOR.
Okay. Sue, did you want to say anything?
My only comment is that he's just trying to get out of what's causing the problem, and until he gets that paid off, I can't, paid off meaning the principal, I can't see going any further with the discussion.
Okay. So what I'm hearing is that we're gonna table this until he's got a history of showing that the principal, at least at a minimum, the actual debt, is paid off, and then we can revisit and have this discussion again in the future. Regarding the other request in the letter, the license was revoked in May of 14. We did revoke that with comment. The other request is to remove the disciplinary action from our website. I'm not inclined to do either. Is there Kim, does this need a motion to reject this, or is anybody inclined to let us reject it?
two more. He hasn't given us any reason why we should reconsider it. There's nothing has changed. So I would think our original findings would all stand as they are.
Just out of curiosity, do we know the exact amount they're collecting on a monthly basis?
Yes. Give me a second. You might be faster, I don't know, but let's see what we got here.
So it's broken up in payments, like random dates.
That many times.
And Randy, to answer your question, unless the OR is given direction otherwise, it always goes to interest first.
So there were three payments in June. So there was a payment on June 4th that was $804.25, a payment on June 11th that was $645.02, and a payment on June 30th that was
$804.25. Three garnishments in 1 month?
But then only one in May. No, they were all from DOR, but only one in May.
There's July. Two in July. One in July.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, one in July.
Okay. Any other discussions on the Redaway request? Okay. Let's go ahead and move on. I think what I'd like to do now is move to the, there was a request for direction on inquiries for closure. And we have quite a long list of 30 cases. I'd first like to ask if there is any recusals on any of the cases.
No.
I don't have any recusals for the inquiries for closure.
Okay. My apologies. Okay. So is there a motion for the inquiries for closure?
I make a motion to close, to respond to the request for direction to close the inquiries for cases, agency cases, 19-INQ-066, 2019-INQ-091, inquiry 2019-INQ-093, 2019-INQ-096, 2019-INQ-097, 2019-INQ-100, 2019-INQ-105, 2019-INQ-106, 107, 2019-INQ-109, 110, 220, 2020-INQ-001, 2020-INQ-003, 2020-INQ-005, and 2020-INQ-008.
Okay, before I call for a motion, Scott, I have a list of 30 cases, and you hit the first 15.
Oh, yeah, well, there's nothing. We'll get to that page, too.
Okay, all right, we'll just do the first 15.
I had to catch my breath at some point.
Okay, so all in favor state aye.
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 Aye. Aye.
Those opposed? Okay, motion passed.
Now that I have caught my breath, I make a motion to respond to the request for direction to close the inquiries for the following agency cases: 2020-INQ-015, 2020-INQ-020, 2020-INQ-021, INQ-028, 29, 30, 31, 32, 33, 34, 220, INQ-36, 220, INQ-37, INQ-040, 41, and 42.
Okay. I'll second it. This is Jim Morris.
Great, thank you. Any further discussion? Okay, hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Okay, motion has passed. Okay, let's move to request for direction on reporting inquiries. This is where I meant to ask, is there any refusals on any cases?
Yes, thank you, Kathy. I do recuse myself from two reporting inquiries. That would be specifically reporting inquiry 2017-RTP-013 and reporting inquiry 2017-RTP-020, specifically because I have a financial interest in that matter and will recuse myself from voting.
Okay, thank you. Any others?
I make a motion to respond to the request for direction reporting inquiries with respect to agency cases 017 RPT-013 and 2017 RPT-020 to close those reporting inquiries.
All seconded. Two more.
Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
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 Those opposed? And then recusal from Joe Sullivan on those two cases. Okay?
In the matter of...
Oh, go ahead, Scott.
In regard to matters for the request for direction and reporting inquiries for agency cases 2016-RPT-005, 2017-RPT-012, 2017-RPT-014, and 2017-RPT-024, I make a motion to close those, the motion being to close those reporting inquiries.
This is Stuart Morris, I second that.
Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
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 Those opposed? Okay, motion comes passed. Okay, in the matter of compliance with board orders, are there any refusals?
Yes, this is Dia Franco, public member. I need to recuse myself from case number 19-019.
Okay, thank you. Scott, motion?
I make a motion in the matter of agency case number 19-019 for a finding of sufficient evidence of a violation of OAR 801-030-0020, parent 1, parent D, professional misconduct.
Okay, any further discussion?
This has to do with whether the licensee appropriately complied with a previous order regarding CPE.
Okay. Any other discussion? Okay. All in favor say aye.
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 Those opposed? Okay, and then noted, Deanna, recuse yourself from voting. Next matter?
In the matter of agency case number 20-004, I make a motion for a finding of sufficient evidence for a violation of OAR 801-030-0020, parent 1, parent E, professional misconduct, 2020 edition.
Discussion?
This matter has to deal with whether the licensee appropriately or timely made payments as required in a prior order.
Further discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
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 Those opposed? Motion passed.
In the matter of agency case number 20-027, I make a motion for a finding of sufficient evidence for a violation of OAR 801, OVO-0020 parent 1 parent E, professional misconduct 2020 edition OAR.
Stuart Morris, I'll second it.
Further discussion?
This too has to deal with whether the licensee kindly made payments as required by a prior order.
Okay, any further discussion? Okay, hearing none, those in favor say aye.
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 Those opposed? Motion is passed. Okay, item D, the case is recommended for administrative closure, case number 20-007.
I make a motion to administratively close agency case 20-007.
Good morning, I second it.
Any further discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
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 Those opposed? Okay, motion is passed. Scott, let's move on to the board consideration without the BOAC review.
Okay.
Starting with case number 18-029.
Can we pass on that one just right now?
What's the deal?
Sure.
Okay. Could you be crazy? Just on that particular case.
Yeah.
For now. We'll get back to it in a second. In the matter of agency case 18-030, I make a motion for a finding of insufficient evidence for a violation of ORS 673.320 parent A use of the term CPA.
Stuart Morris, I'll second it.
Any further discussion?
This one had to do with this matter had to do with an individual licensed in the state of Oregon. Whether they had a problem with being involved with attestation engagements while in lab status, but maintaining a valid license in another jurisdiction.
Okay, any further discussion? Okay, all in favor for insufficient evidence, say aye.
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 Those opposed? Motion is passed.
In the matter of agency case number 19-035, I make a motion for a finding of sufficient evidence for a violation of OAR 801-030-0010 parent 2, auditing standards, and or OAR 801-030-0010 parent 1 parent B, due professional care.
Stuart Morris, I'll second it.
Further discussion?
This has to do with a person's professional work in performing services with regard to several municipal audits. And a referral from the Secretary of State's office.
Any further comments? Okay, hearing none, all in favor of sufficient evidence, say aye.
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 Those opposed? Okay, carried.
In a matter of agency case number 19-038, I make a motion for a finding of sufficient evidence for a violation of ORS 673.320 parent 1 parent A for not being registered during while providing attestation services.
Stuart Morris, I'll second it.
Any further discussion?
Again, this has to do with whether or not there was violation for performing attestation services without appropriate registration as a firm.
Okay, any further discussion? All in favor, say aye.
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 Those opposed? Okay.
Further, in the matter of agency case number 19-038, I find a I make a motion for a finding of sufficient evidence for a violation of OAR 801-050-0020, parent 2, parent C, regarding peer review enrollment.
This is Stuart Morris. I will second it.
This has to do with whether the firm and licensee were appropriately enrolled in peer review while providing services subject to peer review.
Okay. We'll do a comment. All in favor, say aye.
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 Those opposed? Okay, motion passed.
In the matter of agency case number 20-008, I find a motion for sufficient evidence for a violation of ORS 673-160, parent 1, parent C, regarding the registration of a business organization.
This is Stuart Morris. I'll second it.
Further discussion?
This has to do with whether the firm was appropriately registered while providing services to an Oregon client.
All in favor, say aye.
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 Those opposed?
In the matter of agency case number 18-029, where we first started, I resolved the issue in my head. I make a motion for a finding of sufficient evidence for a violation of OAR 801-030-0010, parent 1, parent B, due professional care, and or OAR 801-030-0015, parent 1, confidential client information. This matter has to do with whether the licensee inappropriately disclosed materials, confidential client materials to others, unauthorized others.
Okay, any further discussion? Hearing none, those in favor say aye.
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 Those opposed? Okay, motion passed.
In matter of agency case 20-009, I make a motion for a finding of sufficient evidence for a violation of ORS 673.320, parent 3, use of CPA term.
This is Stuart. I'll second it.
Discussion?
This matter has to do with the license potential of the licensee providing regulated and CPA services while having a license and lapse status.
Any further discussion? All in favor, say aye.
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 Aye. Aye.
Those opposed? Motion passed.
In agency case number 20-010, I make a motion for a finding of sufficient evidence for a violation of ORS 673-320, parent 3, and or OAR 801-010-0110, parent 2, use of CPA and renewal of license.
This is Stuart. I'll second it.
This has to do with whether the individual filed one or more or multiple tax returns while in prepared and provided to clients more than one tax return for while license was lapsed.
This is Stuart. I'll second it.
Okay, any further discussion? All in favor, say aye.
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 Those opposed? Okay, motion passed.
Agency, in the matter of agency case 20-011, I make a motion of a finding of sufficient evidence for a violation of ORS 673.3203 and or OAR 801-010-0110 parent 2, use of CPA and renewal of license. This similar to the other case, but not that case, but this is similar, is whether the licensees prepared one, more than one multiple tax returns while in LAP status and using his CPA designation.
Okay. Any further discussion on that? Okay, all in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Aye.
Those opposed? Okay, motion passed.
In the matter of agency case number 19-012, I make a motion for a finding of sufficient evidence for a violation of ORS 673.170 parent 2 parent G, conduct resulting in a felony conviction.
Mr. Stewart, I'll second it.
Any discussion?
This matter deals with a licensee who pled guilty to a felony charge.
Okay. Any further discussion? All in favor, say aye.
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 Kimberly, do you have any idea when Andrew will be rejoining us?
Yes, we have been corresponding. She needs about 10 more minutes, and then she can come back on.
Okay.
So, maybe take a break?
Yeah.
Let's take a break, a 10-minute break, too. Okay.
Okay, so let's go ahead and take 10 minutes. It's 9:47, so let's come back in 10.
We do not have Andrew
okay,
yet.
Okay, so Kim. So we're still waiting on Angie. Okay, so while we're waiting for her, why don't we go ahead and start with the investigation reports that first went to OAS.
Okay, catching my breath here, start the process. In the matter of agency case number 18007, I make a motion for a finding of sufficient evidence for a violation of OAR 801-030-0010 parent 1 parent B, due professional care, multiple years of addition.
Two more, so second it.
Any further discussion?
This matter has to do with whether the individual licensee had due professional care performing engagements and resulting in multiple non-pass peer review ratings.
Okay, any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
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 Those opposed? Okay, motion passed.
In the matter of agency case number 19-034, I make a motion for a finding of sufficient evidence for a violation of OAR 801-030-0010 parent 1 parent B, due professional care, and or OAR 801-030-0010 parent 1 parent C, planning and supervision.
Mr. Stewart, I'll second it.
Further discussion?
This has to do with the licensee's activities and whether they were appropriate and took due professional care and overseeing of matters to ensure that a extension were filed for clients.
Okay. All in favor say aye.
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 Those
opposed? Aye.
And that was Joe, Andy. Yep. Noted. Okay.
In the matter of agency case number 18032, I make a motion for a finding of sufficient evidence for a violation of OAR 801-050-002, parent 4, peer review participation.
I'll second it.
Any further discussion?
This has to do with whether the licensee and firm were appropriately enrolled in peer review while providing services subject to peer review.
Okay, any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
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 Those opposed? Okay, motion is passed.
In the matter of agency case number 19-011, I make a motion for a finding of insufficient evidence for a violation of OAR 801-030-0010, parent 1, parent B, due professional care.
I'll second it.
Further discussion?
This matter has to do with whether the licensee was timely in responding to client questions and comments.
All in favor of insufficient evidence, say aye.
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 Those opposed?
Further, in the matter of agency case number 19-011, I make a motion for finding of insufficient evidence for a violation of OAR 801-030-0010, parent 1, parent B, due professional care.
I'll second it.
Further discussion?
This one has to do with whether the licensee took due professional care for whether they were responsible for filing an extension for a client's corporation.
Okay, any further discussion? Okay, all in favor say aye.
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 Those opposed? Okay, motion passed.
Further, in the matter of agency case number 19-011, I make a motion for finding of insufficient evidence for a violation of OAR 801-030-0010, parent 1, parent B, also on due professional care.
I'll second it.
Any further discussion?
This particular matter has to do with whether the licensee used due professional care in respect to advising client regarding IRAs and various matters associated with IRAs.
Okay, any further discussion? Okay, all in favor of insufficient evidence, say aye.
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 Those opposed? Okay, motion passed.
In the matter of agency case 19-011, I make a motion for a finding of insufficient evidence for a violation of OAR 801-030-0010, parent 1, parent B, due professional care.
I'll second it.
Any further discussion?
This matter in particular had to do with whether the licensee used due professional care in looking for the filing of certain state and local filing an extension for state and local tax returns.
Further discussion? Hearing none, those in favor of sufficient.
My motion was insufficient.
Oh, okay, I'm sorry. So then what's the reference?
Same reference. All there is just the motion was insufficient.
Okay. Is this the last item?
No. This. Okay. We may end up having another vote on this matter, but right now the motion is for insufficient.
In agreement with insufficient evidence, say aye.
Are we
on
3 or 4?
The extension of the state and local tax returns.
Well, that was number 3. Yeah. All right. I'm there with you now.
Okay, let's try this again. Those in agreement with insufficient evidence,
related to the extending client tax returns.
Or city.
Say aye. Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Those opposed?
Nay.
Okay, Scott?
I was voted nay.
Yeah.
Yes.
So the motion passes?
Noted.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Second motion passes, Nancy?
Oh, sorry, motion passes.
Okay, very good. Okay. Lastly, in matter agency case 19-011, I make a motion of finding of sufficient evidence for a violation of OIR 801, 030, 001, O parent 1, parent B, due professional care.
I'll second it.
Okay, further discussion.
This one has to do with whether the licensee met standards and was took due professional care in obtaining e-file authorizations from a client prior to e-filing.
Okay, any further discussion? All in favor, say aye.
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 Aye. Aye. Okay, motion has passed. All right. So that brings us to the end of that particular case with all the motions for that particular case. Seeing that Nancy has joined us, if it's okay with everyone, what I would like to do is go ahead and go to under item 3, new business. Amanda Green Experience. I believe that Amanda is still online with us. Okay, so thank you for joining us. Being with her today. So we received a letter from Amanda requesting special dispensation in order to fulfill her CPA supervision requirements. She has passed all 4 sessions of the CPA exam, and she has. Her work, however, has not been under the direct supervision of a CPA who has hiring or firing power over her, therefore experience does not qualify her for licensing. She is proposing to obtain her experience under the incoming chair, who is an active CPA. She's currently working for Smart Reading. And so, Amanda, you've joined us. I don't, I want to provide an opportunity for you to make any comments to the board. I think that's appropriate, right? I'm looking at Angie for a head nod on that one. Okay, so Amanda, you are on mute. So I don't know if the board has any specific questions of Amanda. I know that I do, but I want to turn it over to other board members first. Are there any questions for Amanda?
Yes. So, Ms. Green, so how long would Ms. Holzinger be on the board and potentially overseeing your work?
So she's been overseeing my work since April. She became the board president/board chair on July 1st when we started our new fiscal year. And she has a 1-year tenure as board chair. And then she'll have a 1-year tenure after that as emeritus board chair. And I'm not sure what her plans are beyond that 2 years, whether or not she'll stay on the board.
Some follow-up questions. So with that, as right now as board chair, you're suggesting she would overview your work as she goes to emeritus. Would that continue under your proposal? She would continue to review your work?
She would still be an active board member, and as far as I know, she would still continue to review my work in that capacity. My letter did request for the 2,000 hours to start on July 1, so retroactive to the date of the letter, and I'd be able to complete that within her year as board president, working full-time.
And the last question would be, is the organization changing any of their personnel policies where this Ms. Holzinger would have a meaningful impact on your continuing employment?
No, I don't think it would be in a traditional nonprofit setting. The board, especially the board executive committee, has hiring and firing capacity and review of the executive director, who is my boss. But it would not really be normal for a board to have direct hiring and firing authority over employees of the organization. That's the executive director's role.
Okay, thank you.
Amanda, I have a question for you. So your immediate direct supervisor is your executive director, Chris Kolder, who is not the CPA. Your board chair, who is an acting CPA, my concern is that, you know, the board chair generally is not involved in the day-to-day operations of the organization to a level that they really understand the system, you know, the internal controls, reviewing and giving daily directions. And I think one of the things that's missing from me in your request is an understanding of what that direct supervision is going to be, because it doesn't feel like it's going to be there. And, you know, that requirement to have the direct supervision, I mean, it's not that you're joined at the hip, but that person is there, and they are, you know, as our requirements say, they are overseeing your work. And I'm concerned that as a board chair, who's not involved in the day-to-day operations and there, you know, on-site, overseeing daily, that we're not going to get the level of supervision that really is required for licensing as a CPA. I don't know if you're prepared to comment on that, but I guess that's the piece that I don't see in here.
I can speak to that a little bit. So Karen is a part of our controls because she has signer authority on anything over $2,500. And so I do work with her in the accounts payable process on a regular basis. She also reviews all of our financial reports and big journal entries. So any journal entry that's not in the standard course of business, like corrections, she has to review and sign off on. And she's been the board treasurer previous to this, so she has a pretty active role in the annual budgeting process. Our board is quite active, especially compared to other nonprofit boards, and especially right now because the organization is completely revamping all of our programs because of the COVID-19 outbreak. And so I do have weekly interactions with Karen. Go ahead.
Well, it's a weekly interaction, but not a daily. She's not going to be there daily. Okay. Other questions by the board? Okay, so Angie, is this something that we vote on? Can I ask a question in this situation? Yeah, Nancy, can I interject a quick question?
Yeah,
it's Dion.
Okay, yeah. Sorry,
I couldn't tell. Ms. Green, so when you're talking about that you would be reviewing your work on a weekly basis, so what is the mechanism that you two have devised to keep track of the hours?
Well, we haven't devised that mechanism yet. We are pending based on this committee's decision. We weren't going to put the cart before the horse in that. So what we do, talk weekly, and she reviews kind of bigger projects and has helped me. I mean, one project that we've been working on since I started in late March was I've redesigned all of our financial reports. She had a direct hand in that. So that's just one piece of that. And if you were to approve this relationship for me, we would absolutely get something more concrete in that regard in terms of hours tracking.
Ms. Green, this is Kimberly Fast, the director. You mentioned prior in your statement that you would like to do retroactive from July 1st. How would you calculate the hours that you have had if you don't have something in place already?
Well, I would just presume that all of my working hours would be considered supervised hours, since she, at the end of the day, signs off on all of our financial statements and reviews, like, the ultimate presentation.
So to follow up with that, let me clarify, make sure I understand what you just said. So you would say, if you worked a 40-hour work week, you would say to compute, you would ask that those 40 hours that you worked be counted towards supervisory hours, even though this, you're only having communications with this person on a one-day-a-week basis?
Well, she's supervising all of my work. I mean, in a traditional accounting firm, if I was to work full-time for 1 year, you know, as a lower-level employee in a CPA firm under a CPA, that would meet the requirements and supervision. Most other CPAs who I know have gone through this process, that's how they meet those requirements.
Amanda, when did you pass the CPA exam?
I passed my last exam in May.
2020.
In January of 2020.
Okay. So, and our window for licensing is 8 years, correct?
That's correct.
Kimberly?
Yes, yeah. Correct.
Okay. So I guess we need to entertain a motion, but I guess, you know, Amanda, the thing that I would tell you is that having that direct daily, you know, oversight, the on-the-job, at-the-moment, you know, supervision is really key in obtaining your licensing. And, you just passed the CPA exam, so you have an 8-year window in which to, you know, gain that experience. And I'm not sure that your current setup will meet with our expectations for the direct supervision. That is key in the licensing. And I have a couple ideas for you. One is that, to go out on loan to another organization where you would get direct supervision from the CPA. I know that in my organization, we have 4 CPAs, and we have developed a plan for licensing candidates. But that supervision is direct. It is definitely more than once a week, it's more than once a day. It's a continual, direct supervision and absorption of that senior person, over your work. So I just want to throw that out there, that could also be an idea for you.
I understand that, and I know my last name is Green, but I'm not green in the field. I've worked for almost 12 years as a nonprofit accountant. And I've never had the opportunity to work under a CPA, even though I've worked with countless CPAs auditing my work.
Yeah.
And I don't want to have to take a pay cut. I'm making almost 6 figures right now. I work 6 hours a week. I am a parent. And I don't see going to work a low-level accounting job, which is what I would have to do, is a huge burden for me. I don't want to have to do that. If you don't vote yes for this arrangement, I'll probably go get licensed in Washington because they don't have the same supervision requirement. And I'm able to be licensed there today under my current experience. And I'd obviously rather be licensed in the state I live in. But there's for that as well.
Yeah, understood. So understand that there is some, requirements for processing the CPA in Oregon, and that there are about to be a substantially equivalent licensing practice in the state of that responsibility. Anyway, so, that's more information than what we need to go into right now. So thank you for your comments. I appreciate that. Who just has to hand up? Paul.
Hey, I just want to be clear on the supervision requirement. That supervision has to be completed under every aspect of the competencies. Isn't that correct?
Correct.
There's
three paths.
All
paths
have to be supervised, correct? Under this requirement, anybody can answer.
This is Kimberly. There's three paths to get your experience. There's an attest path, you know, attestation. There's a tax path, and then there's a third path where it can be industry or government. If you go through a route of industry or government, then the qualifications committee reviews that application rather than it being an in-house review and approval.
Okay, so I guess it's just not clear to me how the supervision requirement would be completed in this scenario.
To meet the seven core competencies?
Yeah, for the, like, for example, tax, how would that be?
I think what Amanda is saying, Amy, yeah. No. I think that we're, you know, we understand the work that you would be doing. So, is there a motion by the board?
I make a motion to deny the request to use Ms. Holzinger as a qualified supervisor.
I'll second the motion.
Okay, is there any further discussion by the board? Okay, all in favor of not approving this request, say aye.
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 Aye. Those opposed? Okay, motion carried. Amanda, we'll reach out to you on other options available for you.
Thank you for at least hearing me and giving me a chance to speak for my case. This is why there aren't CPAs in the nonprofit industry, just to put that out there. I mean, this is like a crusade I've been on for years, so, yeah.
Thank you, Amanda.
Thanks.
Okay, the next one is Martin's request of an 8-year extension.
So, go ahead.
Give me a second, I'm pulling that up here. Okay. So, this request from Kimberly Martin is to request an 8-year extension within which to gain their CPA experience. The essence of the individual took and passed their first section in January of 14 and the final section in October of 14. So as of January of 14, then that means that they would have to submit for licensing January of 2022. So we're still in like a year.
October.
About a year and a half out. Is that measure the math right there?
Yeah, October 22nd, right?
2020. And the individual is asking for an extension of 5 additional years to obtain the necessary competencies so that the individual's exam scores would not expire until October of 2027. So, which is about 7 years from now. Comments from the board?
This is Kimberly. There, in her letter, she describes that the 8-year rule was sort of missing in action for a couple of years. That statement is true. However, while it wasn't in the section for CPA licensure, it remained in the PA licensure. And Angie, if I'm not mistaken, I think we've used that reference before. The 8-year rule was removed at some point in our rules, but it remained under the PA licensure rules.
And it remained on the website and on application?
Yes.
But it's not actually in rule form.
It is now. It's been reinstated because it was a mistake to have it removed in the first place, and it wasn't caught there. Yes.
So I think that the intent of the board was to not. That was what we accepted. The intent of the board was not to remove it, so it did remain in effect.
I guess my comment is we're 2 years before it would expire. I don't even know that it's right, to use a phrase, to consider it at this point. whether yes, no, or otherwise, there's 2 years before we really have to worry about it. So, I guess question from council, again, is this one something that would require action at the board at this point, or just let it set as unripe until a further request is made closer to the deadline?
If that's the way the board would like to, we wouldn't need to do a vote today. If you want to say that we need to revisit it closer to the deadline, then we can just ask that the applicant resubmit closer to the deadline and request it then.
Yeah, but what I'm okay with doing that, but the one thing that I would say is that is not an indication that we would approve it, but the individual needs to be actively working toward licensing within the window that is granted. You know, I mean, we recognize that life happens, but that's why there's an eight-year window within which to, you know, to obtain the required experience. It's not 8 years of experience, you know, it's much less than that, and, you know, that window is still there, it's still available to the individual. I think they need to work diligently in the remaining window to get licensed. So if we don't take a vote, can Kimberly still get back to the individual to state, you know, that we didn't take up a motion on it and that she just needs to get working on it?
Right, and if it becomes an issue when it's closer in time, she can bring the request.
Yeah, and just be very cautionary that the board generally does not take exception to our written rules. I don't want to give her the impression that she can blow through the next, you know, year and a half, 2 years and not get it and think that, okay, I just have to resubmit when the time gets closer and they approve it. I just want to be really careful that we don't send that message. Okay, we've got a thumbs up from Kimberly. Any other thoughts on this one, or should we move on? Okay, the next one is Kim Brackney, request to reinstate an expired license.
Yes, and I have a phone number to call him. If you would like me to do that.
So, based on the letter, let's see. The individual has been expired. When did the license expire? So that went out on July 1 of 2018.
He lapsed in 2005, and then we had a grandfathering piece where they had a little bit of time, and then when we adopted the rule for expiration, he was one of the first ones to be expired, and that happened on July 1 of 2018.
And he was the last since 2005?
Correct.
Okay, does anybody have a need to call him?
Well, he wants to make a statement.
Oh.
I guess one comment I'll make is his email of July 18th. This is one of the reasons he doesn't, in his second bullet point, fourth or fifth document in, he says that he hasn't gotten mail because he has an address on our records that hasn't been appropriate since 2001. Now, his license lapsed in 2005, so for 4 years we had an incorrect, he did not give us an update to his address for 4 years while he was in a licensed status. So I just point that out. I mean, he wasn't very proactive in keeping us informed with what he was doing.
Yeah, agreed. I noted that too. It is his responsibility to notify the board of any address changes. It is not our responsibility to have to chase after him.
It is required.
Yeah,
so we tell the board within 45 days for that address change?
30 days.
Not 30 years, 30 days.
If he's not maintaining life insurance, then it's not the thing to the board.
Correct, but I'm just saying that while he was in a licensed status, he was not informing us of his new addresses.
Correct, yes.
Well, and you would think that after that many years, you'd be like, why don't I have a protocol?
Any other thoughts before we get him on the line? Okay, Kimberly, do you want to go ahead and call him in?
You bet. Hi, is this Mr. Brackney?
Yes.
Hi, Mr. Brackney. This is Kimberly Fast, Executive Director of the Board of Accountancy. We are ready to discuss your case, so if you would like to address the board with your statement, it now is the time.
Okay.
Kimberly,
yes.
Kimberly, can you make sure you understand being recorded and
yes.
In public session?
I'm sorry. We are in public session. This meeting is being recorded.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you, everybody, for your time this morning. I am reaching out because for, what I've been told is a unique circumstance, which is I sat for and passed the CPA exam a number of years ago, and then I went on my career at Pricewaterhouse, was conferred a license, and then as I went further on in my career, I went to inactive status. This was the early 2000s, and in that period of time, I moved, I think, five or six different times, and there wasn't, it's not like it is today where everything is conferred, where changes are easily documented electronically, and so there are a number of situations, not just with this, where mail never caught up with me, and from a forwarding standpoint, and I wasn't able to keep up on a number of things. So as a result, I think there was a policy change when I went from inactive to basically I was purged from the roles, and that was a specific policy change that was enacted by the Oregon Society, I think, just a couple of years ago. And so I feel like I got caught somewhere in the middle of this. While I have some culpability because I personally didn't reach out to the society to make sure that my addresses were updated, I also didn't realize that there was a sort of an option where I would be completely taken off of the rolls. And so when I reached out to somebody on Kim's team to find out if there was a way that I could, what my path was to actually get back to active status, I was told that effectively I had to go and take the test again and then work for a CPA firm, et cetera, and that nobody had ever asked if there was an appeal process for this. And so that's what I'm here for. I understand that the process has changed and that I somehow got lost in the shuffle on this, but I'd like to figure out if there's a different path than having to go all the way back to the beginning. And I throw myself on the mercy of the committee here, understanding, again, like that I had some contribution to this, but I think from a fairness and an equity standpoint, you know, I mean, I led audit for five or six publicly traded companies. I passed the exam. My license was always in good standing until I went to inactive. And I would like to understand if there is a pathway for me to get back to active status without having to go back to the beginning of the process. So that's my statement.
Okay, thank you. Is there any questions from the board members to Mr. Brackney?
Yeah, I'd like to ask Mr. Brackney, what years was he employed by PwC?
From 1993 to 2002.
And that's all I have.
Any other questions from board members? Okay. Is there a motion?
I make a motion to deny the request to extend, to reinstate the expired license for Mr. Brackney.
Okay, so you all second it.
Further discussion by the board? All in favor say aye.
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 Those opposed? Motion is passed. Okay. Next item on the agenda is the Lake Oswego Accounting and Doing Business at Iron Creek. Okay. This one's harder for me to follow. So in this particular one, the application for firm registration that we received from the Lake Oswego Accounting, which has been doing business under the assumed names of Iron Creek Tax and Consulting, has been denied. It was denied on December 20th, 2019. And in the, it has to do with holding ownership of more than equity capital and the majority of the voting rights. The current ownership structure is not allowed by our rules due to the fact the majority owners are not licensed CPAs. Did I summarize that pretty good, Kim? Did I get that?
Yes. This has been a hard one for us to handle, too. Trust me.
So, discussion by the board?
Okay.
Did you
have
something?
No, I just wanted to let you know that we had many phone calls with them and, personal phone calls and lots of letters back and forth, lots of emails back and forth, and we're sort of at a standstill with them at this point, needing just some...
So, I guess I need clarification. They applied to be a registered firm, and they were denied because of the ownership. Are they asking to be admitted anyways? I'm not quite sure exactly really what the issue is. Or are we saying they can't continue to do the work because they're not a registered firm, and they can't be a registered firm because you're not owned by CPAs? I'm not... What is it that we're actually trying to address here?
Well, kind of all of the above, because we actually told them they needed to register. They were practicing, well, through several entities, right? Iron Creek was the first one that came online. So Iron Creek Tax and Accounting, at the time, they had three CPAs listed on their website.
Okay.
So, right, really clear that they needed to register. So we sent them a letter, you need to register. So they submitted an application under Iron Creek, but then... the ownership didn't qualify, so we discussed that with them. So then they changed it to Lake Oswego Accounting with the same ownership, by the way. So it still doesn't... So then they said, well, we're not really a CPA firm.
Well, and I guess, I mean, are we saying that if three CPAs work at H&R Block, they have to register as a CPA firm? What work are they doing? They only would have... I mean, people do tax work. They don't have to be CPAs, so that... that it's a little far from saying it's public accounting. If they're doing financial statement work, that's a purview strictly of ours.
Right.
But if they're doing bookkeeping, granted CPAs are doing it, they're bookkeeping and tax work, I guess I'm not at stage of saying they have to register because they're really not doing public accounting as defined.
Well,
yeah. I mean, it gets squishy there, but it's like saying H&R Block is, that's like saying H&R Block has to register a CPA firm because CPAs are doing tax returns.
Well,
if they use their CPA license number on there, do they have to register as a firm if they're submitting tax forms?
If a preparer at H&R Block uses their CPA license, they're asking, do they have to register them at H&R Block?
Well, H&R Block, did individual CPAs within H&R Block sign the tax return? Or the...
They would sign the tax return under their, they could do it a number of ways. They sign it under their CPA license number, or if they were also a licensed tax preparer, they could sign the return under the licensed tax preparer number.
But are we trying to say that if they sign under their CPA number that that then triggers H&R Block to be a firm subject to registration? I think that's a stretch.
Does H&R Block advertise that their people are CPAs and that CPAs are
correct? Yeah. They have CPAs online answering questions, TV commercial.
That comes true.
So we were acting under the rules under registration of business organizations. One of the sections says holds out to clients or the public that is comprised of more than one licensee, which they clearly do. And so.
And I don't know. I say this is bringing up here, but it opens up the issue is okay. Have our rules written in such a way as we're stepping into a whole lot of things that we don't have answers for?
Perhaps.
Yeah. Firms have always been difficult and they've always been complicated. And we tried to fix that with this last rule revision, but I can see both sides of this situation where they're acting as a CPA firm with having multiple CPAs and accounting and tax, whatever. But at the same time, since they're only doing tax, is it the number of people in the firm or is it what they're doing? And that's where it gets a little confusing sometimes. And to further complicate this matter was that the ownership structure just doesn't fit at all. And so that's why we just thought, let's get opinions here, and it may perhaps we need to do some more rule revisions to fix firms or, that's where we're at.
They do say on the second page that to recap, Iron Creek will not use the term served by public accountants. Public accountants or any initials associated therein will not hold itself out as being engaged in the practice of public accountancy. It will not be performing the tax services, compilation services, or reports on financial statements.
In other words, leave us alone.
Are they better to be licensed under the Board of Tax, whatever it's called, examiners?
Practitioners.
Do they even register firms or individuals?
I don't really know, actually. I think they've licensed firms. I'm sure they do firms. I just don't know what the rules are for their firms.
Yeah, either do I. Iron Creek Tax and Consulting, I guess, assuming that it only relates to tax, I don't know. I'm with you, Scott. I'm not sure I'm understanding what we're trying to get to with this company.
Is the application still pending?
Yes.
So in order for the application to be denied, the board will have to be pending. But it also should not be the other application.
Andy, you're really hard to hear.
Oh, sorry. So can you hear me better now?
Yes.
Yep.
Yeah.
So the problem is that the board staff can't deny an application. The board has to deny an application, but it sounds like maybe they need to withdraw their application.
They only submitted an application because we told them they had to. Is that correct?
Right, but now that they've done it, we would need them to withdraw it.
But with that being stated,
deny it.
Well, before we get to denying it, the fact that it totally doesn't even make the requirement of ownership, I mean, they only submitted because we said submit it. That if we as a board look at it and say they don't need to register and they can continue to do tax work if that's what the board decides, Just, do we really have to deny anything or just not act on their application that is on face not appropriate?
Well, yeah, which is why we just tell them to withdraw it.
So withdraw it, okay. But as I said, that's if that's what the board is inclined to do.
Yeah, I don't like the idea that we would deny it and then somehow inadvertently, because of our own request, give them a black mark in the professional community that doesn't seem appropriate. So let's say no withdraw, Kim, and then if not, I guess we'll have to come back to the board.
What's she saying?
So. Nancy, is with the guidance fee, with ask them to withdraw and say because they don't have to do anything with us, is that further guidance to the Iron Creek to understand why we're asking to withdraw?
Yeah, based on the additional information that they've provided, they don't need to be licensed with us because they're not going to be in the practice of public accountancy, and ask them to withdraw so we don't have to make a motion of denial, which would end up being, you know, a black mark, and we don't want that.
Okay, I guess some of the confusion coming from our side of the office is that tax planning, tax consulting, tax preparation, financial consulting is most definitely within the definition of the practice of public accounting. So
where's the line?
Where's the line, yeah. We need a line here to know. I mean, you don't have to register as a firm if you're a sole practitioner and only doing taxes, right? When that's just for one person. But if there's more than one CPA, that changes things, right? And so this is where the rub is on our office and why we brought it to your attention.
So going back to our example of, you know, H&R Block, you know, H&R Block does have multiple CPAs working for them. They may not be owners, you know, they just may be employed by H&R Block, signing returns with their CPA license. So is the differentiation ownership? I mean, I don't know. Is it because there's three CPAs that are owner of this company? Is that
not true? Do we need counsel on
this? If you would like legal advice, we could go back into executive session on that issue. I don't know if I'm misremembering correctly, Kim, but I believe there was some other stuff that was originally on their website that maybe has been taken off since we initially saw this. Maybe they've changed.
I know that they said that they were going to take the CPA references off of each of the licensees. And I think they are down to three now rather than four CPAs.
And they're just employees, no ownership at all?
They have no ownership,
yeah.
I'm on the website, and there are references to the two CPAs, and there's two CPAs and one EALCC.
Yeah.
So they took one of the CPAs off, and then I believe that they said that Donna Klosterman would be becoming a consultant or phasing out of the company somehow. I'm not positive. I don't remember the exact.
And I can appreciate staff's position, but I think unfortunately it may be a matter of how we've got our rules written at this point, and we've tied ourselves into a knot, and we end up with situations like this. You have to register. Oh, you can't register because you're not appropriate to register, but you can't do the work unless you register, but you can't register. And the rules kind of get you there. I understand that. That's a difficult piece.
Mm-hmm. Well, when you look them up, even on, you know, like I just did the link on the check as well, and Iron Creek and Consulting shows up under Accounting Services in Portland, Oregon. And it says, not your average firm, not your average user.
We had a case here a couple of years ago remember where we had a very similar situation.
Yes, that was B2A, right?
I don't remember who it was, but I remember they visited us. They actually came to a board meeting.
Yeah.
We were in the training room. I remember all the circumstances, but it was a very similar situation where they employed multiple CPAs, but the ownership wasn't fully compliant in whether they had to register or not. And I ultimately, the answer was no, they didn't,
no.
They didn't have to, or we agreed they didn't have to.
It wasn't B2A.
It also says on their website that Klosterman and Associates is joining Iron Creek Tax and Consulting.
Yeah.
Do we know who Klosterman and Associates are?
Yes.
She's a retired CPA.
See, on their website it says they provide tax filing and planning, audit and IRS representation, second review, new business services, accounting, and payroll.
But
who owns the company?
Pardon me?
Who owns the company? I can't figure out who the owners are.
You mean of Iron Creek and Lake Oswego Accounting?
Right.
So it's, I believe, Daniel Spencer, and there's an owner, Angel. And Reyes Flores, I think, were the three names we were given.
And they're out of Utah?
Utah,
or?
I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, they're not CPAs?
No, they're not CPAs.
When you click on the who are we, who we are, so the director is Elizabeth Hutchinson, CPA, Donna Klosterman, CPA is a principal, Cynthia Lawson, a licensed tax consultant, Trent Miller, tax math manager.
I don't think so either.
I don't know well enough their rules. And this is why we're in a pickle.
So when you look at, the experience of the individuals, I mean, it really gives you the impression that they're holding out more as a CPA firm, honestly.
Looking at the articles of organization for Lake Oswego, Tax, whatever it is, professional services, right, says accountants. Now, it doesn't say public accountants or certified public accountants, but that's what they're showing as the professional services provided.
And the same is true, Deanna, for Iron Creek. When you look up their articles of amendment, their most recent, it lists their professional services as tax and accounting services.
And so are those like two separate checkboxes, or is it just like one checkbox? Is it tax? Does it be tax and accounting?
It's not here. I'll show you that. Here, I'll get close. It's not a box. It's something you prepare. It's a form that you prepare and write in.
And this is done electronically, so it really is just something type. I mean, so the Secretary of State kind of just puts up whatever you say.
Thank you.
as accountants of some type. To me, the question comes down more to who owns the organization, and does that fit into our parameters that we can use? Because I know we can have a certain number of non-licensed people as owners.
It's 100% non-licensee.
That's the ownership.
Yes.
But they're practicing public accounting according to our terms.
So let me ask the question, if they fired all the CPAs, would we be still having the same conversation?
Well, are they holding out to doing accounting?
They're doing tax returns and bookkeeping.
Well,
but no CPA. I'm taking the hypothetical, they have no CPAs on staff. I'm trying to figure out what the answer is. Either they got to get CPAs own half of, more than half, or they have to fire their CPAs. Is that what we're saying? I'm not sure I can get on either of those, but that sounds to me like where we're going.
Who are their owners?
It's the company. Iron Creek owns Lake Oswego Accounting, and those are owned by these Reyes. And
Daniel Spencer, Reyes Flores, I think, we think. And because it's Platform Accounting Group that owns...
There you go, that's what it was.
That owns Lake Oswego Accounting, that owns Iron Creek.
And they're out of Utah?
And they're out of Utah.
And it's not clear, there's some new with the Secretary of State with this Lake Oswego accounting that we can't see the numbers yet. It's not up. I can only see the managers, and I know it's manager-managed. I'll see.
So I guess it feels like we need more information.
Like?
I think what we could do more at this point is table this, and I could do a more thorough write-up and make sure you can do this and go check it out on it for the next 4 days.
Is everyone good with that?
Well, I guess, like I said, where I first started from is, depending on the road we go down to, we may be in a fight with H&R Block and Jackson Hewitt. And, I mean, we need to be very thoughtful of what our reach is and what we're trying to reach. We have a tech public, I understand that fully, but there's a big door we're opening here.
Okay, so Angie will get us some more information on this before we make a decision. So we'll table that for now and bring it back to the next board meeting. Okay, so I'd like to go back to our list of cases. Scott, I believe that we're coming up to case number 18-043.
That is correct. In the matter of agency case number 18-043, I make a motion for a finding of insufficient evidence for a violation of OAR 801-010-0345, parent 1, registration of a firm.
I'll second it.
Any further discussion by the board?
This matter has to do with whether the firm had to register depending on the type of services they were providing.
All in favor, say aye.
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 Those opposed?
Nay.
Nay. Motion passed.
Further, in the matter of agency case number 18043, I make a motion for a finding of insufficient evidence for a violation of OAR 801-005-0010, parent 27A, and or 801-005-0010-28, parent A, regarding definitions.
I'll second it.
Okay, further discussion?
This has to do with whether the licensee was practicing public accounting with a valid license.
Okay, any further comments by the board? Okay, all in favor of insufficient? Say aye.
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 Those opposed? Motion is passed.
In the matter of agency case number 18-044, I make a motion for finding of insufficient evidence for a violation of OAR 801-030-0010, parent 1, parent B, due professional care.
I'll second it.
Okay,
I'll second it.
Further discussion?
This matter has to do with whether the licensee was used due professional care in providing advice to a client.
Any further comments? Okay, all in favor of insufficient evidence, say aye.
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 Those opposed? Motion is passed.
In the matter of agency, further in the matter of agency case number 18-044, I make a motion for finding of insufficient evidence for a violation of OAR 801-010-0345 parent 2 reporting requirements 2016 edition.
I'll second it.
Okay, further discussion?
This matter has to do with whether the licensee had an obligation to report a lawsuit to the board.
Okay, any further discussion? Okay, all in favor of insufficient evidence, say aye.
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 Those opposed? Motion is passed.
In the matter of agency case number 18-047, I make a motion for a finding of insufficient evidence of a violation of OAR 801-030-00005, parent 2, parent A, integrity, objectivity, and or OAR 801-030-0010, parent 4, tax standards.
I'll second it.
Okay, any further discussion?
This has to do with whether the licensee had a conflict of interest that required a level of disclosure.
Any further comments? All in favor of insufficient evidence, say aye.
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 Those opposed? Motion has passed.
In the matter of agency case number 18-047, I make a motion for a finding of insufficient evidence for a violation of OAR 801-030-0010, parent 1, parent B, due professional care.
I'll second it.
Okay, further discussion?
This matter has to do with whether the licensee in the preparation of the tax return used due professional care in providing information as to where a refund might be deposited, what bank account.
Any further comments? Okay, all in favor of insufficient evidence, say aye.
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 Those opposed? Okay, motion is passed.
Finally, in matter of agency case 18-047, I make a motion for a finding of insufficient evidence of a violation of OAR 801-030-0010, parent 1, parent B, due professional care 2016 edition.
I'll second it.
Further discussion?
This has to do with whether the licensee used due professional care in advising regarding taxability of Social Security benefits, certain Social Security benefits.
Any further discussion? All in favor of insufficient evidence, say aye.
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 Those opposed? Okay, motion is passed.
In the matter of agency case number 18-049, I make a motion for finding of insufficient evidence for a violation of OAR 801-030-0015, parent 2, parent B, requested records of 2017 and 2018 editions and or 18 editions.
I'll second it.
Okay, further discussion?
This matter has to do with whether the licensee was responsive in providing client records back to the client or a successor pair.
All in favor of insufficient evidence, say aye.
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 Those opposed? Motion is passed.
In the matter of agency case number 19-001, I make a motion for a finding of insufficient evidence for a violation of OAR 801-030-0020, parent 1, parent B, professional misconduct 2014 edition.
I'll second it.
Further discussion?
This matter has to do with whether the licensee appropriately prepared or did a cost segregation study for tax return purposes.
Okay, any other comments? All right, all in favor of insufficient evidence, say aye.
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 Those opposed? Motion passed.
In the matter of agency case number 19-007, I make a motion for a finding of insufficient evidence of violation of OAR 801-030-0010, parent 1, parent B, due professional care, and or OAR 801-030-0010, parent 2, auditing standards.
I'll second it.
Any further discussion?
This matter has to do with whether the licensees were appropriately perform matters of in an audit they did for a client.
Okay. Any further comments? All right. All in favor of insufficient evidence, state aye.
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 Some opposed? Okay. Motion is passed.
In the matter of agency case number 19-013, I make a motion for a finding of insufficient evidence for violation of OAR 801-030-0010, parent 1, parent B, due professional care, to multiple additions, and or OAR 801-030-0010, parent 4, other professional standards, multiple additions, and or OAR 801-030-0010, parent 5, other professional standards, additional years.
I'll second this.
Okay, any further discussion?
This has to do with the licensee's professional services in providing certain financial statement services to their client or to a client.
Okay. All in favor of insufficient evidence, say aye.
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 Aye. Those opposed? Motion passed.
Further, in agency case number 19-013, I make a motion for a finding of insufficient evidence of OAR 801-010-0345, parent 5, parent D, regarding firm registration 2013 edition.
I'll second it.
Further discussion?
This has to do with whether the firm, the licensee and firm appropriately reported a lawsuit against the firm under the requirements at the time.
Okay, those in favor of insufficient evidence, say aye.
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 Those opposed? Motion is carried.
In the matter of agency case number 19-015, I make a motion for a finding of insufficient evidence for a violation of OAR 801-030-0010, parent 1, parent B, due professional care 2018 edition.
I'll
second.
This matter has to do with whether the licensee properly prepared a tax return for a client.
Okay. All in favor of insufficient evidence, say aye.
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 Those opposed? Motion is passed.
Finally, and also in matter of, and finally with respect to agency case 19015, I make a motion for a finding of insufficient evidence for a violation of OAR 801-030-0005, parent 2, parent A, integrity and objectivity in the 2018 edition.
I'll second
it. Further discussion?
This matter has to do with whether the licensee improperly favored one client over a other member of a entity for which the member with the licensee was preparing a tax return.
Okay. All in favor of insufficient evidence, state aye.
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 Those opposed? Motion is passed.
In the matter of agency case 19-021, I make a motion for finding of sufficient evidence for a violation of OAR 801-030-0010, parent 1, parent B, due professional care, 2018 edition.
I'll second it.
Further discussion?
The matter has to do with whether the licensee was appropriately responsive to communications from the client.
Any further discussion? All in favor of sufficient evidence, say aye.
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 Those opposed? Motion is carried.
In the matter of agency case number 19-021, I make a motion for a finding of sufficient evidence for a violation of OAR 801-030-0010, parent 1, parent B, also due professional care, 2018 edition.
I'll second it.
Further discussion?
This has to do with whether the licensee used due professional care to ensure that a tax return was prepared and filed, provided to the client for filing.
Okay. Any further discussion? All in favor of sufficient evidence, say aye.
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 Those opposed? Motion passed.
In the matter of agency case 19-022, I make a motion for a finding of sufficient evidence for a violation of OAR 801-030-0010, parent 1, parent B, due professional care, 2017 edition, and or 801-030-0010, parent 5, other professional standards, also 2017 edition.
I'll second it.
Further discussion?
This matter has to do with whether the licensee was preparing and or issuing financial statements, and if so, following appropriate professional standards.
I'll second it.
Okay. Further discussion? Okay. All in favor of sufficient evidence, say aye.
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 Those opposed? Motion passed.
In the matter of agency case 19-022, I make a motion for finding of sufficient evidence for a violation of ORS 673.170, parent 5, disciplinary action, 2017 edition.
I'll second it.
Further discussion?
This has to do with whether the licensee made misrepresentations, but not within the framework of the practice of public accountancy.
Any further discussion? All in favor of sufficient evidence, say aye.
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 Those opposed? Motion is carried.
Lastly, in agency case number 19-022, I make a motion for a finding of sufficient evidence for a violation of OAR 801-030-0005, parent 5, parent A, use of CPA designation, 2017 edition.
I'll second it.
Further discussion?
This matter has to do with whether the licensee improperly used their CPA designation in conjunction with a business other than public accounting.
Okay. For a vote of sufficient evidence, say aye.
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 Those opposed?
Nay.
And who was the nay?
Scott.
Okay. Motion is Scott.
A little bit of a weird one here. In the matters of agency cases 19-024, 19-025, 19-026, 19-027, I make a motion to treat the cases with respect to the individual separately from the cases associated with a firm.
I'll second that.
Okay. Any further discussion?
This is so in case... This is in case there's a differing opinion as to the culpability of whether it be the firm or a named individual.
in favor to separate the cases between the individual and the firm, say aye.
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 Those opposed? Motion is passed.
In the matter of the firm, participation in agency case 19-024, 19-025, 19-026, 19-027, I make a motion for finding of sufficient evidence for a violation of OAR 801-030-0020, parent 4, parent B, acting through others. This is for the firm.
Okay, further discussion?
This matter has to do with whether the firm inappropriately employed individuals not holding an appropriate license in Oregon.
All in favor of sufficient evidence, say aye.
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 Those opposed? Motion passed.
With respect to the individual named in agency cases 19-024, 19-025, 19-026, 19-027, I make a motion for finding for insufficient evidence for a violation of OAR 801-030-0020, parent 4, parent B.
I'll second it.
Any further discussion?
This is the named individual associated with this particular firm and whether they had culpability in the process.
Any further comments? Okay, for a vote of insufficient evidence, state
aye.
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 Those opposed?
Nay. That's stop.
Do you need to drink a water?
In the matter of agency case 19-37, I make a motion for a finding of sufficient evidence for a violation of OAR 801-010-0345, parent 1, registration of a firm. 18 and 19 additions.
Any further discussion?
This matter has to do with whether the licensee was appropriately registered based on the services provided, professional services provided.
For a vote of sufficient evidence, say aye.
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 Okay, motion is passed.
In the matter of agency case 19-37, I make a motion for a finding of sufficient evidence for a violation of OAR 801-030-0015, parent 2, parent B, parent big C, regarding retention of work papers, 2018 and 19 editions.
I'll second it.
Further discussion?
This matter has to do with whether the licensee retained appropriate work papers for professional services provided.
For a vote of sufficient evidence, say aye.
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 Those opposed? Motion passed.
In the matter of agency case 19-37, I make a motion for a finding of sufficient evidence of a violation of OAR 801-050-0020, parent 2, parent C, regarding peer review, 2019 and 18 editions.
I'll second it.
Thank you for the discussion.
This matter is whether the licensee was appropriately licensed or appropriately registered for peer review based on services provided during that time frame.
Okay. For a vote of sufficient evidence, say aye.
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 Those opposed? Okay, motion has passed.
In the matter of agency case number 20-005, I make a motion for finding of sufficient evidence of multiple one or more violations of OAR 801-030-0010-1B, due professional care, 2011, 12, 13, 15, and 16 editions.
I'll second it.
Any further discussion?
This matter has to do with whether the licensee used due professional care in the preparation of tax returns for federal and state tax returns for multiple states and whether appropriate documents were provided to the client.
Thank you for the
Is there any other discussion? Okay, so for a vote of sufficient evidence, say aye.
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 Lastly, in the...
Okay, motion is passed.
Lastly, in the matter of agency case number 20-005, I make a motion for finding of sufficient evidence for a violation of OAR 801-030-0020-2A reporting requirements, 2018 edition.
I'll second it.
Any further discussion?
This has to do with whether the licensee appropriately reported under the requirements in place at that time a lawsuit against his firm or against he or his firm.
Okay, any further discussion? Okay, for a vote of sufficient evidence, say aye.
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 So the vote?
Aye.
Okay, motion?
Joe?
This one there. Okay. The motion is passed. Okay, looking at my list, I believe that we have made a vote on everything that needs to be voted on. That was no easy task, for sure.
Okay.
We have completed the
smaller outdoor trial.
I think that we have gotten all motions heard in executive session. Have I missed anything, Kimberly?
I think you did perfectly, and that was well done.
Okay, so the last item on our agenda for today is announcements and adjournment. Is there any announcements? Our next meeting is December 17th, 2020.
Yes, hopefully in better circumstances.
Okay, fingers crossed.
Okay.
And I'm hearing no other comments from board members. I will bring our Board of Accountancy's board meeting here on September 18th to a close. It is 11:25 a.m.
Bye, everyone.